Mississippi rivers. And the Mississippi rivers. And the Mississippi rivers. Well, now you can count them one by one.
It could be your son.
You can count them two by two.
It could be me or you.
You can count them three by three.
Now don't you wanna see?
You can count them four by four.
Oh well, into the river they go. Oh well, into the river they go.
Now you can count them six by six.
In Mississippi, they got it fixed.
You can count them seven by seven.
Mississippi, it ain't no heaven.
Greetings, sisters and brothers of the human family. Greetings, my sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And you are listening to the Mind of God program, emanating from thinkaboutit.org. And today's recording date is December the 5th, 2010. And we're going to go ahead and move to the book of Revelation. We're yet in the book of Revelation, talking about freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. And we are in Book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. And we are revealing the message of Jesus Christ, the message of the apostle John, and showing how we have left our first love. You heard that last song down in Mississippi by our beautiful mother, Mavis Staple. And that song is talking about how the FBI, the CIA, the Fraternal Order of the Police, the White Citizens Council, the Ku Klux Klan, the government of the United States of America, how during that tumultuous time of the 50s and the 60s, where we were struggling, and the church, the black church, was on its job. Not every black church, but many black churches were on the job, standing up for freedom, justice, and equality. And other organizations other than the black church, such as Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Congress on Racial Equality, other groups, Black Panthers, standing up for freedom, justice, and equality. But the FBI, the CIA, Fraternal Order of the Police, Ku Klux Klan, government of the United States of America, started to kill and kill and kill and bomb and dumped our sisters and brothers into the Mississippi River, knowing that they wouldn't be found for the most part. So when Schwerner and the other Jewish person, European Jew, was killed along with the brother Cheney. It was a black man by the last name of Cheney that was killed. Three of them. The black man and the two European Jews was killed, right? Their bodies were thrown, I believe, in the Mississippi River. If it was not the Mississippi, it was another river. But the point I'm making is this. As they dragged those three bodies up, only because the two European Jews were killed did they care about Cheney, the black man. But when they dragged those bodies up, they pulled out numerous other bodies, numerous other dead people that were killed by the fraternal order of the No Good Rotten Police, the CIA, the FBI, the government of the United States of America. And so this song by Mavis Staples, Down in Mississippi, is causing us to understand what went on. You see, we have lost or left our first love, and those actions by the government instilled fear into us. And this is why we left our first love. Jesus says in chapter 2, verse 5 of the book of Revelation, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works." The first works having to do with the love of Jesus. And Jesus, that word Jesus in the Hebrew, African Hebrew, Yahshua, means justice, means deliverance, means health and wealth, and the vengeance of our God on the wicked ruling class and ruling families that have taken our health, our wealth, our land, and our resources. We have left our first love, black church, black preacher, black pastor. And so Jesus says, remember from where or from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Go back, come back. Repent for leaving the equal rights and justice movement. Repent from leaving the civil rights movement. And do those works again, that work of justice. Black church, you have a long history of fighting for justice inside of America, fighting for justice for those outside of America. Come back to that work. Repent and come back. Why must we remember where we have fallen? And how did we fall? We talked about last time the Masonic ritual of Hiram Abiff hitting us in the head, taking our knowledge from us, and we falling from our identity and from understanding who we are, and leaving the movement because of that fear that was pumped into us. So Jesus says, repent from such action. Come back to that work, that great work of justice. The word Christ, meaning the crusher of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Make no mistake, make no bones about it. The Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Illuminati Masonic Order, the multinational corporations, the wicked top wealthiest 1% who are in cahoots with themselves and each other to continuously destroy the poor and the middle class inside and outside of America, who are forcing Obama to consider actions that only crush the poor and the middle class. We have got to get up and stand up and repent from leaving the movement, the justice movement. That word repent in the Greek, metanoheo, almost sound like Native American tongue, but metanoheo, that is under the number 3340 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary, and that means to think differently. We're going to have to change our thinking, sisters and brothers, to reconsider. We're going to have to reconsider our actions, change our thinking, come back to Jesus. Now you say, I'm preaching Jesus. You say, I love Jesus. You say, I go to church and worship Jesus. Well, you shouldn't worship that flesh. Anyway, what are you worshiping? You're worshiping the Most High, the characteristics and attributes of the Most High that are symbolized in the man Jesus. And that word Jesus or Yahshua means justice. Jesus The man you say you worship came to represent justice, freedom, equality, deliverance, health, and wealth. Yahshua. Look up the meaning of that word Yahshua or Joshua in the African Hebrew language. And you will see that it means all of these things, all of that which has been denied from the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. All that which has been taken by the wicked ruling class. In those days it was Caesar and Rome. Today it is the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Illuminati Masonic Order, Wall Street, the Federal Reserve System, the banks, Goldman Sachs, AIG, the top wealthiest 1%, Bank of America. All of them have conspired to take your wealth, to move your jobs overseas, to take advantage of the slave and low-wage labor market. And we didn't say anything when it was just overseas. It has always been here, but now it is coming more into manifestation that we are being hit with our wages being crushed. Pay freezes. Destruction of the so-called middle class. Destruction of jobs in this time. And so now it's coming back to America. So we're going to have to not just stand up for ourselves, but stand up for the human family outside of America and force the corporations to pay a living wage to your workers inside of America and outside of America. You say you can't do it, or we can't do it. But we can do it. Not if, but when we climb out of the mind and mentality of this wicked Babylon system and climb into the mind of Christ, the mind of God, we can do all things. And not just living wage job, but get the land, the wealth, and the resources back to the people inside and outside of America. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We have to go back to Christ. You say, I preach Christ. No, you don't. You don't preach Christ as the crusher. Christ, the crusher of the wicked ruling class that is destroying the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Destroying the human family. Christ, coming from Ka-Ra. Ka-Rest in Egypt. The spirit. The rising up of the spirit and the soul to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Ka, spirit, Ra, the one Most High, the one God in Egypt, that one God given the name Ra to denote the characteristic of light. The S-U-N is a symbol of the spiritual light that the Most High gives to us to rise up and overthrow this wicked Babylon system. And so, coming also, Christ, coming also from Mashiach in the African Hebrew language. And every king was anointed the Messiah. Yes, every king was anointed the Messiah. Because every king had the spirit of the Messiah. And every king in the African Hebrew Israelite nation was commissioned and missioned with the job of standing up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and crushing the oppressor, crushing the wicked ruling class and ruling families that do nothing but destroy the human family. So we have to come back to Jesus, justice, come back to Christ, the crusher of the oppressor. Black preacher, black church, black pastor, we have to come back to Mayat. And we're going to pause here and take our last break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
Don't
there behind closed doors. Man, you hit the floor, and what they can't see is you're on your knees. So the next time you get a chance, tell them it's a God in me.
Greetings, greetings, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to thinkaboutit.org, and this is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is December the 5th, Sunday, 2010. And you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. It's the God in us, the Father, the Almighty, and the Mother, Holy Spirit in us that will cause us to do this job. We got to come back to my yacht, truth, justice, righteousness, freedom, justice, equality, balance, reciprocity. This is the teaching that Jesus wants us to understand when Jesus calls us to examine the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth, with the universe as the blueprint for the constructing of the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. In verse 5, again, chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus says, "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Jesus is telling us that if we do not exhibit loyalty and fidelity to the cause of freedom, justice, and equality, balance, reciprocity, truth, justice, and righteousness, if we do not come back to that message and preach that message, which is the message that was preached by Jesus, the disciples, the believers, every prophet in your Bible, Old and New Testament, if we don't come back to that, then Jesus will remove us. He says he will remove your candlestick. Remember the imagery of the pole stars representing the pastors and the candlesticks representing the members of the churches. The pastors and we represent the lesser lights. The S-U-N is the greater light in the universe. The stars are lesser light, and candlesticks are lesser light. And so we, in the place of the S-O-N, Jesus, the S-O-N, is represented by the S-U-N. Jesus is the greater light. Now all praise is due to the Almighty Father and the Almighty Mother, who are the real controllers of the universe. That hidden and unseen Father and Mother, that is the real scientific power behind the universe, giving the S-U-N power. which teaches us that that same Almighty Father, Amen, and Almighty Mother, Amen, that you know as the Holy Spirit, gave Jesus his power, also gives us our power. But in absence of the S-O in Jesus, we are the lesser light. Representing the S-O in Jesus, the greater light, who in turn is representing the hidden and unseen power behind it all. But if we do not come back to this message, we will be removed. Our candlestick will be removed. The Most High will put someone else in that place to be the lesser light to represent this message of freedom, justice, and equality. Lord have mercy. This is so, so beautiful. Moving on to chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6 of chapter 2. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. All right. Let me take my time and explain this. Now, removing the candlestick, if we don't stand up for truth, justice, and righteousness. Then Jesus in verse 6, chapter 2 says that thou, you, this church, what church is this? Ephesus. The church at Ephesus hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. So, says, thou hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and I, Jesus, Justice, Christ, the Anointed Crusher, also hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Who are the Nicolaitans? What were the Nicolaitans? What were the deeds that was so hated by the Ephesian, the Ephesus church, the church at Ephesus? The deeds that were hated by Jesus, Justice, Christ, the Anointed Crusher of the wicked ruling class. What were these deeds, and what does this have to do with the black pastor, the black preacher, and the black church? Remember, we are looking at these seven letters to the seven churches as seven aspects of the black church. Everything going on at that time, Jesus and the disciples and the believers and the churches at that time fighting Caesar and fighting Rome, is prophetic of our fight. We have been saying over and over again that we are the African Hebrew Israelite nation, and everything concerning the African Hebrew Israelite nation in the Old and the New Testament is prophetic of ourselves, the black man and woman in America, in the Western Hemisphere, stolen from our kith and kin in Africa. The church is the same. Everything going on with the African Hebrew Israelite nation, who became the foundation block of the church, started and begun by the disciples. Everything they're going through then is prophetic of what we are going through now. Now, this Nicolaitan thing, what does this have to do with the black church and the black preacher and the black pastor? Who were these Nicolaitans at that time that the church at Ephesus so hated their deeds? The Nicolaitans were believers that compromised their faith and enjoyed living a life of sin, enjoyed the sins of the Ephesian society. The Nicolaitans are equivalated or compared to the Balaamites. Okay? There was a group called the Balaamites. And the Nicolaitans and the Balaamites are equal to in wicked deeds. They run congruent in their wicked deeds. Now I want to go to a couple of study guides. If I don't finish it this session, we'll begin here the next session. But I'm going to the Living Bible Translation. Page. Do I have this page right? Ah, here we go. Page 1973 of the Living Bible Translation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. I'm going to read the commentary. on the Nicolaitans. And we're going to show how this is prophetic of us today. Black church, you've done some good, you've done well, but you've left the movement. And yes, you have shown that you do not like certain wicked ones. Let's read this. The Nicolaitans were believers who compromised their faith in order to enjoy some of the sinful practices of Ephesian society. They falsely called themselves apostles. The name Nicolaitans may have come from the Hebrew word for Balaamites. Balaam was a prophet who induced the Israelites to carry out their lustful desires. When we want to take part in something we know is wrong, we often make excuses to justify our behavior, saying that it isn't as bad as it seems or it won't hurt our faith. Are you tempted to compromise your faith in order to be accepted by non-Christians? Christ has strong words for those who look for excuses to sin. Now let me go to the Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary on page 94 and read about Balaam for a couple of minutes. And I may have to go over because we just got to continue sometime. All right. Now, when the Israelites pitched their tents in the plains of Moab, immediately after their victory over Sihon and Og, Balak, the king of the Moabites, sent an embassy of elders of Moab and Midian to Balaam, offering to reward him, Balaam, if he would curse the Israelites. After looking to God about the matter, Balaam replied that God had forbidden him to comply with the request. Balak then sent some messengers of a higher rank with more alluring promises. This time God permitted Balaam to go, but cautioned Balaam to give only the message that God gave to him, Balaam. On his way to Balak, this command was strongly impressed on Balaam's mind by the strange behavior of his donkey, called an ass, of his donkey, and his encounter with the angel of the Lord. Balak took him to the high places of Baal, from which a part of the camp of the Israelites could be seen. To Balak's disappointment, Balaam pronounced upon the Israelites a blessing instead of a curse. Surprised and incensed at the words of the diviner, Balak thought that a fuller view of the camp of Israel might change his disposition, and took him to the top of Mount Pisgah. But the only result was further blessing instead of cursing. The children of Israel are compared to a lion who will not lie down until he has eaten his prey. In his despair, Balak now suggested that the issue be tried from a third locality. They went to the top of Peor, and there the Spirit of God came upon Balaam and caused Balaam to declare not only that God would bless Israel, but that he who blessed her would be blessed, and he who cursed her, meaning Israel, if you cursed Israel, you'd be cursed too. In his bitter disappointment, Balak now broke forth in angry reproaches and ordered Balaam to go home, but without the promised reward. Before he left, Balaam reminded the king that at the very beginning he said that no amount of money could make him give anything other than the commandment of the Lord. He then uttered a last prophecy, the most remarkable he had given so far, in which he foretold the coming of a star from Jacob and a scepter out of Israel, which would smite Israel's enemies, including Moab. The coming Christ, the coming Messiah, rising up within the people to overthrow the wicked ruling class. Now, nothing else is said of Balaam until Numbers chapter 31. There the seer, who had sought to turn away Jehovah from his people, turn away Jehovah from Jehovah's people and failed, tried before long to turn the people from Jehovah. Balaam knew that if he succeeded in this, the consequences of Israel would be such as Balak had desired. God's curse upon Israel. By his advice, the Israelites were seduced into idolatry and all the vile abominations connected with it. In the judgment that followed, no fewer than 24,000 Israelites perished until it was evident that the nation abhorred idolatry as a great crime against Jehovah. By God's command, Israel meted out vengeance upon her seducers, the Midianites, and in the universal slaughter, Balaam also perished. Now let me finish this out for a couple of minutes. Here's what went down. Balak represents the ruling class and ruling family mentality. Balaam represents the prophets, the preachers, the pastors. The children of Israel represent the black man and woman. Now, the ruling class and ruling families want to use our own pastors and preachers and prophets to curse us. Okay? But instead, those pastors and preachers who are true to the word of God have to continue to bless us. The ruling class and ruling families offer our preachers and pastors all manner of money to sell us out, to sell black people out, to sell the oppressed out. But those pastors who want to remain with the Most High and true can't curse the black man and woman. But there are those who have. There are those who have sold us out. But the desire is to induce the black man and woman into idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is covetousness. To want that which is not yours and go about obtaining it by wicked and crooked means to the destruction of that person or persons that you are taking that which is not yours from. It is consumerism. Look at the philosophy of America. Consume, take, 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 take land, take wealth, take resources. Take from Iraq, take from Afghanistan, take from Africa, take from Central and South America, take our wealth and give it to the wealthy ruling class and ruling families. This is consumerism. This is covetousness. This is idolatry. The idol is only a representation of all that comes out of the earth. Diamond, rubies, gold, stone, wood. And so that idol represents the minerals and the resources in the earth that the ruling class want us to support their using bloodshed and warfare to take land, wealth, and resources from the people. This is idolatry. All of us are participating in idolatry. The prosperity message is a wicked message because it does not confront the ruling class and ruling families, but causes us only to desire wealth to the detriment of the human family and participate in this system of idolatry and covetousness and consumerism, when we should say to ourselves, not prosperity message, but no poverty, no impoverishment, no wicked ruling class and ruling families taking everything for themselves, but equal access to the land, the wealth, and the resources. So the prosperity message is not a challenge, and the ruling class and ruling families and their wicked system would have us not challenge this wicked system. But the children of Israel are compared to a lion for justice, the lion to overthrow the wicked power of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Black man and woman, you are the lion. You are the true Israel. You are they who have been prophesied would overthrow this wicked oppressor. Overthrow this wicked ruling class and ruling families, the Illuminati Masonic Order. That is your job. That is your mission. This is prophecy about you and us. So we're going to have to come back to that message. Come back to that reality. And what we're going to do next session is go back over this Balaam and Barak history. And it's interesting that that man that was the king was named Barak, because we're going to go back after that history. Balak. Balak and Balaam. But we're going to go back over this and look at Barack Obama as fulfilling that which is written of concerning Balaam and how the ruling class has forced Barack Obama to induce us into idolatry. So, Jah love, Jah blessed. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.
Thank you.